Before we get into the Word today, just a few things. You saw the tribute to fathers. So just had it on my heart. If your father is alive, please reach out to him today. Because there's a few of us in this room that we don't have that opportunity. Because our father's not with us anymore. So please reach out, whether you've got a great dad or a mediocre or a bad one, whatever. Just let them know you love them and honor. They don't have to be perfect for you to honor them. Amen? And then just speaking of honor, I asked a few of the fathers around me if they knew how to use a remote control. They all did. So I don't know where that came from in the cartoon. I think that would have been a more of an appropriate thing for Mother's Day. But men, come on, fathers. Am I right? I'm right. Amen. Okay. Also want to let you know that it would have been 9 years ago that Miracle Life Board kind of told Pastor Haley and I that they were looking at what other churches do, and they said, all right, after 7 years of being a pastor, we want you to take a sabbatical, a break. And so you're not pastoring. So 9 years ago, we did it, and Pastor William did that, Pastor Benjamin did that, and it's incredibly refreshing and helpful. So if you do the math 9 years ago, so that means we should have had one 2 years ago, but our sabbatical starts tomorrow. So we're going to not be here. And so the idea of Sabbath is rest. So you down tools so that you can pick them back up. And so we're going to be doing a lot of reading and writing and seeing our moms and eating and playing games and just doing fun stuff. All right. And but under the Lord. So there's some really amazing things that Miracle Life has set up for the next couple of months that are going to be an incredible blessing, but they're going to take your participation. So thankfully, he who watches over Israel doesn't take a sabbatical. He neither slumbers nor sleeps. So the senior pastor of Miracle Life will be alive and well, Jesus Christ, our good shepherd. Amen? So don't be surprised if you don't see us. All right? And then also just to say that Pastor Haley and I had the real honor yesterday of participating in the wedding for Bishop Harrison Sakala and his new wife, Pastor Charity. And so we were at the church. It was celebration. I mean, there were happy people. And then at the reception last night. So it was awesome. Old people can dance. Amen. Just without breaking anything. So we're so glad to see for our friend. And that's why Bishop Sakala wasn't at the Brave Men's Conference this year. But men, I would imagine after a year of marriage, he's going to have some stories for us next year. All right. Today we're going to talk about what I think is a really important biblical theme. And that is our response to God. And it is just, it's really from the first page of Scripture to the end, is that God is the initiator. He goes first. But then he calls us to respond to him. Pastor Haley and I have been watching a lot of tennis of late. And we are so happy that for the second time in a row, an American woman has won a Grand Slam tournament. Our girl Coco, yeah. And my wife played a lot of tennis. But the idea is that someone initiates the point, but then someone returns the serve. Now, I understand we're not in a cosmic match with God, and he's not our opponent. But the idea is that God's not playing both sides of the tennis match. He asks us, he commissions us to respond to him. But it's also good to know that he always, always goes first, all right? And we see that from the first pages of Scripture. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created. All right, so the first verb of Scripture is God. Action. God is the one doing it. We are not even there yet, And God is acting. He is acting on His own will and His own plan. So in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So what we see from Genesis 1 and 2 that's so important is He is the Creator. We are the created. And so, therefore, that gives Him the right to set up how things will be. And He has done that marvelously. So that's in creation. In our salvation, Romans 5:8. But God demonstrates His own love toward us. So here's action again, right? Demonstrate. How did He do that? In that, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Another way that Paul puts that is we were spiritually dead. That means we were separated from God. So we had no means of doing anything. What did God do? He sent Jesus. Jesus died. Again, that's an action. Jesus was not killed. He gave His life. Scripture is clear, amen, that no man can take my life unless I lay it down. And He laid down His life for us. All right. So another place it says that Christ died for the ungodly. So we were without help, we were without hope, and God went first. Okay, so here we see this explained in 1 John 4, verse 9. In this, the love of God was manifested or made clear, demonstrated. It was manifested toward us that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God. All right, so what's the definition of love? How is it love seen? Not that we love God, but He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Propitiation meaning the full payment. That there was a debt that God settled Himself. All right? Verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, which He did, right? If God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. And we see that this is the at the center of what God calls us to do. Jesus said to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And to do what? To love others as you love yourself. And so this love is only made possible by God's initiation. By God going first. All right? So 1 John 4:19 says, we love Him. Why? Because He first loved us. So love starts with God, but what Scripture makes clear is it doesn't end with God. All right, He's doing His part, but then He calls us to respond, to love Him back, and to love others also. Now, the next number of weeks at Miracle Life, that part, our call to love one another, we are going to dig into that. We are going to say, Lord, not only have You called us to do that, how do we do that at Miracle Life? And not just like somebody else is doing that and you get the credit for it, okay? But how do you participate through the life of this church to love one another? And so we're going to talk about it, but we're going to do it. And there's going to be some amazing things that happen as a result of that. All right, so there are responses in Scripture that God calls us to. So I want to look at three different psalms today that are going to indicate, you're going to see them really, really clearly, of our response. But you're also going to see how God goes first and how we respond to Him. Now, one of the things I think is so, so important in Scripture is when we understand our job description and when we understand the responsibilities of others. So, men's conference, right? Husbands, what do we do? Love. And now we have our wife's job description right there too, right? Wives, submit, honor, respect. Husbands, have you discovered you can't do her job? Have you discovered that your job is not to get her to do her job? Husbands, make sure she's doing her job. But isn't that what we do in marriage sometimes? All right, so when it comes to us and the Lord, we need to understand what are the responsibilities He gave us to respond to Him. Focus on those and do them well. Amen? All right, let's start off in Psalm 95. Psalm 95. Now, you do know it's not Psalms chapter 95, right? So it's a collection of songs, right? And we've got this one, Psalm 95. Verse 1, O come, let us sing. So God's not singing, right? We're singing. Let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. So here we have a response. Sing, shout, give thanks. All right? So this is a part of what God's called us to do. Let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms. Now verse 3 tells us why. For the Lord, or Yahweh, for the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. Meaning we have a reason to sing. We have a reason to shout. We have a reason to give thanks. And knowing who He is, if we're silent, that's odd. That is not a good response. All right, verse 4. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are His also. The sea is His. Why? For He made it. And His hands formed the dry land. O come, so here's a response. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. So we can't ever forget that He's our Maker, that everything that we see, all things exist because of Him. They are for Him. Amen. And so when you take God out of what we see in our existence, then you have a few billion people around the earth that do not bow down. They do not give thanks. And then a lot of crazy things happen when we don't respond. All right? So let us come, let us worship, let us kneel, for He, verse 7, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, and the sheep of His hand. You know, when I was younger, I kind of had this idea of, you know, I've got my pasture. I've got my life. And if I invite God into it, then my life it'll be more awesome because, you know, there are things He can do that I can't. But it's kind of still about my pasture. All right. No, you don't have a pasture. Okay. You're the sheep of His pasture. We're breathing His air, living on His earth. Amen. And so therefore we bow down. We give thanks. All right? So He is our God. We're the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. What good news that is. Today, if you will hear His voice, aren't you glad you are? Right? From Scripture. Today, if you will hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. As in the day of the trial in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me, they tried me, though they saw my work. All right, now, this is one of the most repeated incidences in Scripture. That is, the children of Israel when they messed up. So God brought them out of Egypt across the dry ground of the Red Sea. Amen? So it wasn't just a seasonal tide. No. Heard somebody say this, that, you know, modern theologians would say, well, you know, the children of Israel, you know, God didn't really dry up, because they would say, you know, God doesn't do miracles. So God didn't dry up the Red Sea. They just walked across, you know, there's just a few centimeters of water. And this Pentecostal preacher just started shouting. He said, hallelujah, hallelujah. He said, well, why are you shouting? He says, God drowned the whole Egyptian armies in a few centimeters of water. No. Our ancestors walked on dry ground, and then God swallowed up Pharaoh's army. They got to the other side, and Miriam was singing and dancing. Amen. The horse and the rider thrown into the sea. We will sing to the Lord who's triumphed gloriously. And then they stopped singing, and they started complaining for 40 years. Complaining about manna, complaining about water, complaining about Moses, complaining about Aaron. All right. And it got so bad that in their time of wandering, which wasn't supposed to be that long of a time, they said, okay, Moses, we're firing you. How many of you can't fire somebody that God appointed? That's kind of hard to do. So, no, Moses, we're firing you, and we are going to have a democratically elected leader to take us back to Egypt, back into bondage. And God said, okay, no promised land for you. What did he give them? He gave them what they wanted. You don't want to go to the promised land? I will not take you kicking and screaming there. It was expressly shown repeatedly in Scripture. These people were supposed to go in and they didn't. Why? Because they hardened their hearts. They rebelled against God. And one of the key things here is in verse 9. When your fathers tested me, they tried me, though they saw my work. So God was readily seen. The food that they were eating was supernatural food that came from the sky. When's the last time you had supernatural food from the sky? Right? The cloud that covered them by day and the fire of night, over them by night. This is unusual. This is God. And yet they did not acknowledge him. So every time we are to acknowledge God, we are to respond to God, and we don't, that hardens our heart. The devil is never seen as the hardener of men's hearts. All right, it's us. Okay, repeatedly in the Exodus account, and Pharaoh hardened his heart. Pharaoh did to Pharaoh. All right, and then it was hard, and God galvanized it for his purpose. All right, so let's keep reading. Verse 10. For 40 years I was grieved with that generation, and said, "It is a people that go astray." Where? In their hearts, they do not know my ways. So I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. Though they saw his work, complaining about food, complaining about leaders, accusing God. You brought us out here to kill us. If he brought you out to kill us, you'd be dead. Okay, the fact that you're even saying that means God didn't kill you. All right. So they're responding incorrectly, hardened their hearts. It led them to go astray. All right. So this is a warning in Scripture that our response to God is not just simply a path to a nice life. We're going to be in big trouble if we don't respond well to God when we see him and because of who he is. Amen. All right, let's look at another psalm here, Psalm 107. All right, so that one ended with a warning. It started off with things we were to do with a warning. Psalm 107, verse 1, it says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord." Why? For he is good. and his mercy endures forever. Repeated throughout the Psalms and the history of Israel, those two things. Let the redeemed of the Lord sit quiet and meditate. Say so. You're supposed to hear yourself saying it. Whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in, hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted in them. Then they cried out. That's a response, isn't it? They cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. He led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city for a dwelling place. So God is good. God is faithful. We cry out because what we know about him. And here's what the Bible says. He responds again. All right. He inhabits the praises of his people. His ears are open to our cry. Amen. Verse 8. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord. God hasn't changed his mind, has he? Why do we give thanks? Because of who he is and what he's done. And it says it right here. Give thanks to the Lord for two things. For his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And then the psalmist describes what some of those things are. For he satisfies the longing soul. He fills the hungry soul with goodness. Those who sat in darkness and in the shadow of death, bound in affliction and irons, because they rebelled against the words of God and despised the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, he brought down their heart with labor. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death and broke their chains in pieces. Now, both of those pictures, how many of you know if you are in darkness, you have no light to get you out of the darkness? So much of the world has got this phrase, and people write books about it, and they talk about the light within you. The Bible is super clear about man without God. There is no light within you. Okay, your cell phone is not like running flat. It's dead. All right. Look to the light within you. Your truth will guide you. No, light and truth come outside of us. They don't come from within us. Amen. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Now, when his light comes in us, then we become the light of the world. Right? But without God, there is no light. Okay? We're all dark. All right? So, anyway, be careful what you think about light. Amen. So he brought them out of darkness, the shadow of death, broke their chains in pieces. Verse 15 here, it's repeated. Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. So, this is a commission, all right? So there are two distinct ways that we can give thanks to the Lord all the time, all right? So, for his goodness. So that is a part of the character of God or the nature of God. There are many facets to his nature. The angels around the throne of God in Revelation, what are they saying? Holy, holy, holy. Why are they saying it? Because it's true. All right, that is, God is holy. So God, we sang a song just now. God is faithful. How do we know he's faithful? Because of what he has said about himself. So the character of God, you and I must allow God to define the terms of his character. Because he's done it extensively in Scripture. And all kinds of ways that God has said about himself, I am, right? So the children of Israel messed up. They were sinning. They got snake bit. And then God revealed himself. I am the God who heals you. If they would look to the bronze serpent. Aren't you glad that I am can never be the I was or the I have been? All right, because there's a really cool thing about God. He doesn't change. The technical word is the immutability of God. So your friends say, what would you learn at church? I learned about the immutability of God. Impress your friends with big words. No, just kidding. All right. God doesn't change. There's no reason for him to improve. Hopefully you and I change for the better. God's not in a self-help program. He's already good as he's going to be. All right. So we understand God from his revealed word. All right. I was talking with a friend when we used to live in South Africa, and we were discussing scripture about some things and everything. And, you know, I was saying, you know, I think scripture is really clear about ABC. And he said to me, he said, that's not the Jesus I know. What, you mean you had coffee with him yesterday or he? No, the Jesus that we know is right here. Okay. Now, is when we know him experientially, he's consistent with his word. Never outside of his word. Ever, ever, ever. Okay. Otherwise, you end up like Joseph Smith and the Mormons. Well, I saw Jesus. No, that was a demon. Okay. Amen? All right. So we thank him for his goodness. That's part of what he has said he is. Second part is for what he has done. His wonderful works to the children of men. Now, we can thank God. Oh, God, thank you so much for being with David and Goliath. No problem. But why not thank God for what he did in your life? That song we sing, all my life, you have been faithful. And I don't know about you, whenever I sing that phrase, I start seeing flashbacks. I start seeing scenes. Ooh, you were faithful there. Oh my goodness, if it wasn't for the Lord. Amen. So verbalize that. Say that. Think about it. Amen. All right, because when we don't, it leads to trouble. All right, so we saw this warning in the psalm. I want you to read, I want you to go to Romans 1, because here's another warning of not thanking God. Romans 1:20. For since the creation of the world, we read that, right? Genesis 1:1. Since the creation of the world, his, God's, invisible attributes are clearly seen. It is not obscure. It is not cloudy. His attributes are clearly seen. How? Being understood by the things that are made. Even his eternal power and Godhead. So that they, people who reject Jesus, they are without excuse. All right? So, when you see a sunrise, when you see a sunset. Now, I realize I'm speaking to second service. So you may be more acquainted with sunsets than sunrises. Anybody here say amen? All right. I have no problem. Some of you are saying, hey, if the sun's not up, I'm not supposed to be up either. Okay. But you probably are acquainted with sunsets. All right. With the amazing beauty, even in our city, of birds that sing and trees that grow and mangoes that drip down your chin. You ever had a human-made mango? No. God's got the good stuff. All right. So all the things that he has done, the ways that we see him, that's a trigger. That's a reminder for us to respond. All right. So these folks, even though they saw these things, what happened? Verse 21. Because they knew God, they did not glorify him as God. That sounds like a response, hey? They did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful. Didn't glorify him. They weren't thankful. Even though he could be clearly seen, nothing. No response. That you're going to get in big trouble. Here's what happens. But they became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Sounds like hardened, doesn't it? Similar to, right? Professing to be wise, they became fools. It is amazing how many self-professed wise people on planet Earth. I'm wise. It says so on my business card, right? It says so with my titles. And heaven says, fool. Okay, now please, let's not let the Bible be nice when it's not being nice. Oh no, but Pastor, you mean foolish. No, it doesn't say foolish. It says fool. Okay, now please don't tell that to your atheist uncle. Okay, I just learned in church today that God considers you to be a fool. All right, which he does, but yeah, don't tell him. Let God can help him. Amen. So what happens in Romans 1 is three different times. So when people ignore God, God gives them up to themselves. And then it's this horrible spiral of destruction. Horrible spiral of what they do to themselves, receiving in their own bodies the recompense. Okay? So what's our response as the people of God? God, we are thankful. God, we give you glory. We give you honor. Amen? And then our heart stays enlightened. Our heart stays soft. Because the Bible gives us some pretty important warnings about our heart. Proverbs says that guard your heart. So this is one way you can guard your heart, is to be thankful, is to respond to God. Guard your heart, for it, out of it flow the issues of life. Another translation says, it, your heart, affects everything that you do. Everything. All right. So keep your heart right before God as a believer. Now, we're going to look at one to finish off, but I want to mention another one that is a beautiful, wonderful response of Scripture. If you were at Brave Men's Conference, we saw this with Josiah. That Josiah was leading Israel, and his grandfather and father were the most notorious idol worshipers, satanic, devilish, killed their own children and roasted them to the god of Moloch. Just ridiculous. And so Josiah seemed to have a different inclination. And then the high priest read the scripture. And when he heard the scripture, he repented. And he said, we are going to clean up the idols under my jurisdiction. And he did. All right. So he heard God's way. We're not supposed to follow idols. What are all these idols doing around? My grandfather was nuts. More than nuts, he was devilish, all right? And so he responded to God's word. That's called repentance. God, you are right, and I'm wrong. You're right, and I'm wrong. So Scripture says things like, let not even a hint of sexual immorality be named among you. Never said named in the world. And let it not be named among the people of God. Flee fornication. All right? And so maybe you're 21 years old and you have a different mindset towards fornication. You don't flee fornication. You seek it. Where's fornication? Come on. Right? That's much of the world. All right? Before I got saved, I went to a Christian Christian high school. And so we had this whole plan of, and we had the numbers right. I think it was 7 and 7. 7 of us guys were going to go to this guy's farm, and 7 girls were going to go to this other place farm. We were going to meet in a barn. And we were not going to have a prayer meeting. Seeking immorality. Yeah, it was all planned. But, oh goodness, I had a Pentecostal praying mother. And the Holy Spirit gave her wind of, Mom, I'm just going over to this guy's house. I've got a bad feeling in my spirit. No, Mom, it's fine. I could lie well, but you can't. The Holy Spirit's better than a liar, right? So she didn't let me go. All right, so I wasn't fleeing. All right, I just had a Ayatollah mother, okay, whom I will see in 2 days and kiss her and be so glad to see her. Okay, but so it, when we discover things from Scripture, okay, your body is not your own. Well, my body, my choice. Oh, that's ungodly. Oh, how unbiblical. Not your body, not your choice. Your body belongs to God, and my choices are informed by Scripture. Oh, okay, God. I turn. I repent. I change my mind, and then I change my feet. I change what I'm doing. That's biblical repentance. But it comes from saying, God, you're right, and I'm wrong. All right. So just have a stance for the rest of your life. God, you're right, and sometimes I'm wrong. And I can handle that, and I'm just going to live the rest of my life that way. Amen. And so then we, like the song says, Lord, we live this way. Lord, your way is better, and I'm going your way. All right. So lastly, let's look at Psalm 115. Psalm 115 to see, actually there are a couple responses here, but we want to hone in on one. Psalm 115 verse 1. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name give glory because of your mercy, because of your truth. Why should the Gentiles say, so where is their God? Verse 3, but our God is in heaven, and he does. All the way from Genesis 1:1, what is God doing? God is doing. Based on what? Whatever he pleases. Now, here's the cool thing about Scripture is, whatever he pleases has been explained a lot. Okay, so there's a lot of things that God does. It really shouldn't shock us or surprise us because he's made his ways known to us. All right. Now, comparing God to idols, verse 4, their idols are silver and gold, the work of men's hands. These idols, they have mouths, but they do not speak. Eyes they have, but they do not see. They have ears, but they do not hear. Noses they have, but they do not smell. They have hands, but they do not handle. Feet they have. Kind of sounds like Yoda here, right? Feet they have. That's a really good joke. Sorry, you missed it. Okay. Feet they have, but they do not walk, nor do they mutter with their throat. So it's all show. There's nothing alive with these idols. They can't do it. Looks kind of like that they should be doing something. All right. Remember Elijah when he was the showdown with the prophets of Baal? Where are your gods? Why can't they talk? Why can't they do? Call them. And there was no fire. And what did Elijah do? He serves the God who answers by fire. He acts. He's alive. Amen. So here's this contrast. Verse 8. Now here's our response. Verse 8. Those who make them are like them. So is everyone who trusts them, the hand, the work of man. Oh, Israel, trust in the Lord. He is their help and shield. Oh, house of Aaron, the priests, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. And then he gives us some reasons why we should trust in the Lord. Verse 12, the Lord has been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Aaron, Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless those who fear the Lord, both small and great. How many know you're somewhere in the middle right there? That means you. Okay? May the Lord give you increase more and more, you and your children. May you be blessed by the Lord who made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens are the Lord's, but the earth he has given to the children of men. The dead do not praise the Lord, nor do any who go down into silence. But we who are alive, we who are sitting here June 15th, in church, we will bless the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. Praise the Lord. So two responses there we see in that psalm is what he ends with, of blessing the Lord, of praising the Lord. But right there in the middle, it says to trust the Lord. To trust the Lord because he acts, because he does. Now, When the Bible characters, when we see them responding in trust to God, Hebrews 11 gives us all of these great Old Testament people who trusted the Lord. They trusted God after God had indicated what he would do. There was a promise. There was a statement from God. All right. So our trust is one of those responses. Romans 10 says faith comes by hearing what? The news or your cousin? No. What has God said? What has God said? And so when we hear that and we accept the truth, then faith begins to work in our enlightened, soft heart to God. All right. So as we trust the Lord, we do so on the basis of what he has said. Okay. So our trust many, many times is in the form of a prayer, isn't it? Okay. They called on the name of the Lord. All right. So our faith-filled trust prayers start this way. God, you said. Now, please understand, God is never not aware of what he said. Okay? Because sometimes my family, like when my kids were in the house or my wife would say, hey, Walker, you said. And it's not because they're confident, they're reminding me. Right? And then sometimes, how many of you parents, sometimes you... or husbands, you get into an argument. I didn't say that. Huh? I'm glad. I'm really, really glad that my wife, I'm glad we don't have CCTV in our own house. Because we would be like, okay, there it is. You see, you said it. All right. No, I didn't say it. Okay. So that's not what we do with God. All right. But what we're doing is, God, I'm trusting you on the basis of what you said. God, I'm not making this up. I'm not trying to twist your arm. You know, people say, well, can't manipulate. God can't be manipulated, but he can be trusted for what he said. And that honors him. Oh, he loves people to take him at his word. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. Let's put some of this into operation. Because we want this to be a part of your lifestyle. And we certainly, praising God, thanking God, trusting God, repenting, saying, God, you're right. I was wrong. You have got to do that. more than in the walls of a church. All right, but let's do it since we're together, and let's allow this to be a part of our lifestyle that we're going to take out into the workplace, into our families, to when you wake up in the middle of the night worried, all right, that this becomes a part. So I think it'd be good to just start by thanking God, who He is, what He's done. But there may be some requests, there may be some trusting that you need to do. Well, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. All right. Let God hear you today. There may be some repentance to say, God, you know what? I've been fighting you. I've been fighting your will. I've been fighting your word. God, your way is better. God, I repent. Amen. Let's just do that. Let's lift up our voices to God. Father, we come to you. We bow our hearts and our knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory. Just go ahead and just pray where you are. Just begin to talk to God right where you are. And Father, thank you so much. God, thank you for saving me. God, thank you for people, so many people, God, in my youth that presented me with the gospel in word and in lifestyle. Oh, my. So many people, God. Thank you for their lives. Thank you for their dedication. Thank you for their boldness. Oh, Father, thank you for saving and washing and cleansing me. Thank you for making me your child, for adopting me into your family, for giving me your name and your inheritance. Not because of what I did, but because of what Jesus did. Thank you, God. Father, thank you on Father's Day, Lord, that you helped Haley and I to be parents, that I get to be a dad. Thank you, God, for that. What a gift. What a gift. What a blessing. Father, thank you for Miracle Life Family Church from its founding to all the ups and downs, God, that you've been faithful. Father, thank you in advance that you'll be faithful to Miracle Life for the next 100 years, God. We're not here, but you're still faithful. You're still the good shepherd. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, we bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. And Father, I'll be obedient, Lord, and I'm sorry for the delay. I'm sorry. Lord, I will be obedient. And Lord, I'll do that. And I won't have excuses, God. Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Hallelujah. So I just commission you, get home tonight, do this with your family. In the morning, your first breath, do this. Amen. Respond to God. But I want us to respond as a church family today. Paul told Timothy, he said, pray for all men, but also for kings. All those who have authority over you, because there's a result, that we, Christians, may live a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness. All right. So I want us to pray for those in authority right now in Zambia regarding the funeral of the former president Edgar Lungu. All right. Now, if you're here and you probably have an opinion. I have an opinion. They're like noses, right? We all have them. But let's pray to God. Let's ask Him. All right. God, we pray for those in authority. Lord, those in government. Lord, we pray for, Lord, every member, every influential member in the Lungu family, God. Lord, they're grieving, they're hurting, but yet they're also making decisions, God. And again, I ask you to pray not from your perspective of, Lord, get that group or whatever, okay? But let's ask God to help because He wants us to lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness. And funerals are already tough, okay? All of us have gone through them. But when these other components, it makes it a lot tougher, doesn't it? All right. So let's pray for decision makers. Lord, let your will prevail. Let wisdom prevail. The Bible says this, that the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord. It's like a water course. He turns it the way he wants it to go. So let's ask God to do what he can do. Amen. Let's lift up our voices. Father, we come to you right now. Lord, we pray for all those in authority, Lord, who are in present government, Lord, military, people in protocol, all those kinds of decision makers. Lord, we pray for the Lungu family, Lord, for the former First Lady, for every child, Lord, every sibling, God, every part of that family, Lord. And Lord, it's a very, very difficult time. And Jesus, you know that. You know that. But Lord, there's all these other layers, God. There's all these other components on top that make it tougher. Father, we pray for wisdom. Wisdom for decision makers. Father, as the people of God, and Lord, I know specifically, Lord, there are people who love you, God, in key places and positions with voices, God. Lord, we pray for them, Lord, for their voice to be heard, for their voice to be anointed, God, for their voices to break through other voices, God, to prevail. Lord, that there would be peace, and Father, that this funeral, Lord, would be a time of honor, God, and a time of love, not a time of hatred or strife or animosity, God. That's not your will. That's not your plan. Oh, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Father, we pray for each one, Lord. Turn their hearts, God. We don't even know what hearts need to be turned, God. We don't know, but you do. So, Father, we ask you to turn hearts towards your will, towards your way. Oh, Father, we expect a good outcome because we're praying to you, because we're trusting you, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.